Ingles lets another one fly, and down it goes. Out to Ingles inside, and Ingles with another three-point hit.
Another one is Ingles show.
They're going to call it a two.
He's talking to the crowd.
They give Joe two. Catch and shoot corner.
Why not?
Oh, Joe, you're amazing, man.
He's got his own fan section over there in that right corner, too.
27, and he's knocked down six threes.
He's hit three threes right in that little section over there. And they're loving it.
NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Strayer. It is Thursday, April 4. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet walking around green. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. As we break down and wrap up after every single day of NBA action, all while repping Straya just a little bit is what we do. All right, so massive day to cover off today. 12 games, 12! Can you believe it? We've got lots of playoff jostling. We've got some absolutely shocking ineptitude, some missed game winners, a couple of displays of immense ankle breaking. That was pretty good. So that'll all be covered with the usual dumbassery. If that's not a knife, old mate, no mate, spud of the night. Better than Lonzo Ball, there's a yeah, nah, there's the unpopular opinion of the day, there's Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. We also have the playoff update and some tankathon standings. We have a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. We visit Kiwi Corner. Plus, thanks to Sports Tips Australia, there's a look at the odds and a pick and preview for all the games tomorrow with a couple of sweet tips thrown in for you. All right, and then we're going to close out with the new Diary of Stephen Adams, and it's going to be really good. Trust me. This is NBA Australia episode 258. Let's go. The
worst of this. This is Miss Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wow, you better. Or you better watch out for the attack of the, the Aussie double team of Big Simo Ben Simmons and son of Bruce Jonah Bolden. Or Aaron Bangers Baines even. Jeez, Aussies absolutely smashed it today. That was pretty bloody good. You also better watch out for the old ankle breaking of Reggie Jackson and Luka Doncic. Jesus. All right, anyway, we'll get to that all in good time. We're going to start today the way we start every episode of NBA Australia with a daily whip around. That's right. We officially only have 1 week left in the regular season. Can you believe it? And this is the part where everybody's like, oh, bro, the season just drags on. I'm just so ready for the playoffs to start. Oh, yeah? Well, just remember this part of the season. Where you're like, ah, I get to watch basketball when it's like the fucking middle of August. And you're sitting there going, oh, bro, I wish I could watch basketball. You'll be missing those Alex Len box scores in August. I know I will be. The Ukrainian stepladder. All right, anyway, so with 1 week left in the regular season, the Sixers signed Greg Moose Monroe to fuck with Jonah Bolden, apparently. They had to release poor Justin Patton as a result. So there you go. Sixers signed Monroe for the rest of the season. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Just a bit of insurance, I guess, for the last couple of games. The Nets are not only working on extending Kenny Anderson, Coach Kenny Anderson, and his staff, as we spoke about, 2 days ago? They're also extending Sean Marks, bro. Oh, it's really sweet to see all these guys going really well, bro. I signed them all to my team, the Brooklyn Nets, bro. And it's sweet as he. Love Sean Marks. Our anti-Padean pal. Good stuff, Sean Marks. One of my three favorite Kiwis. It was also revealed today that Steph Curry got contact lenses and is now a fully armed and operational Steph Curry. which means we're all fucked. That's right. Since he got a rest day when Dallas were in Golden State on March 23, Curry's hit 32 of 59 from three. That's right. The greatest shooter in NBA history couldn't even fucking see straight. And since he got contact lenses, he's shooting over 50 fucking percent. Ah, Jesus, it's all over. Shut it down. Fucking hell. Anyway, the Wizards, that's right, are apparently centering, they're eyeballing the Denver Nuggets president of basketball operations, Tim Connolly, to replace Ernie Spud Grunfeld. That's all because Tim Connolly's actually got a long, long history with the Wizards. Grew up in Baltimore. He's been in charge of the Nuggets since 2013, but began as an intern with the Wiz back in 96. He was a full-time video coordinator in 99, worked his way up all the way through the front office until he's assistant general manager at the Hornets in 2010, and then went to Denver a couple of years later. So that'd be pretty cool. The thing is, the Nugs announced less than 2 months ago that they signed Connolly and their GM, Arturis Karnasovas, to extensions. So, might be a bit tricky there, Wiz. It would be funny if they gave up a first-round pick just to get a GM in classic Wizards fashion. All right, bit of injury news. Blake Griffin was out today with he's nursing a sore left knee. And Devin Booker hurt his ankle, which fucking sucked. It was also pretty weird because with Devin Booker going out, their entire starting five for the Suns was completely injured. So no Devin Booker, no Tyler Johnson, no Kelly Oubre Jr., no TJ Warren, and no DeAndre Ayton. Oh, fucking hell. Not all as well in the Valley of the Sun. All right, let's wrap up all the games from today. We're going to fly through this because there's 12 of them. So a couple of good ones, though. Indy absolutely smoked Detroit 108-89 for the Pistons. Andre Drummond at 28 points, 19 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks, and barely looked like he gave a shit about that game. Wayne Ellington went 5 of 12 from 3 for his 24 points, and Reggie Jackson had 16 points, 4 assists. Only other person to do anything for the Detroit Pistons was the Duckman, Luke Kennard. He had 10 points. The Pacers, they were led by Thad Young, of all people, 21-8-4. Jesus. Bojan Bogdanovic, even though he went 0-3 from 3, he had 17. So did Miles Turner, after Miles got his ankles broke by Reggie Jackson. The Suva King, Domantas Sabonis. Oh, yeah, I'll just have, can I get 2 of those with combination meat? Thanks. Thanks, Domantas. Cheers, mate. Yeah, easy on the tomato on the second one. Cheers, bloke. 15 points, 13 rebounds for Domantas Sabonis. Unreal. Dougie McBuckets had 14 points on 6 of 7 shooting. 12 assists to Corey Joseph. Pretty good. Anyway, Detroit, in a game that they had to win, got their asses handed to them. They're now 39-39. India, 47-32. The New York Knickerbockers of New York City went into Orlando and got schmocked 114-100. Big night for Orlando. They win. The Pistons lost. The Nets lost. And the Heat lost. And they're now in the 8. We'll get to that later in the old playoff update. For the Knicks, Super Mario, what? That's right, Super Mario Hezonja, 29 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists. That's unreal. Love me some Super Mario. Kevo Knox, he had 21. Mitchie Robinson had 12 points, 9 rebounds, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. And Manny Moutier chucked in 13 points and 10 assists for your Knickerbockers. But it was the Magic who just ran roughshod over the top of them. Vooch had 29 points, 13 rebounds, and 3 assists. Aaron Gordon had 19, 7, and 6. He was bloody good. Evan, don't Google me, Fournier had 19, and T-Ross had 23. Johnny Isaac was rough. 6 points, 9 rebounds, but a lot of shots went into those 6 points, bro. Talk about him a little bit later. The Knicks now dropped to 15 and 63, and as mentioned, Orlando, they get up to 39 and 40 and into 8th in the East. Wow. Chicago, they beat Washington, which was hilarious because it was basically the Chicago Windy City Bulls plus Robin, featuring Robin Lopez, beating the Washington Wizards at, I don't know, as full strength as they could be at the moment, 115-114 on the back of a couple of Walt Lemon Jr. free throws. This is great. The Wiz, you're just the worst. I fucking hate them. Just, ugh. I did pick them yesterday as like a big bounce back. They fired Ernie Grunfeld. They'll bounce back and smash Chicago. How do you say? No. That's a note from me, dog. I mean, Jesus. That's a fucking brutal one, isn't it? Anyway. Order up. So, Wiz, 18% from 3. They shot 5 of 27. Jesus. Brad Beal only played 22 minutes. That seems smart. you know, you got nothing to play for at the moment. You're the Wiz. May as well tank as hard as you can. 19 points for him. Fighting Bobby Portis. Fighting around the world. Punched his old team in the head with a 20-10. Thomas Kobe Bryant had 20 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists and 2 blocks. He might pop up a little bit later. While Sam Decker and Jordan McRae had 14 each. Sam Decker and Jordan McRae. Wow. Yep. The Bulls, they shot 53% on the way to the win. Walt Lemon Jr. had 24. Shaq. Harrison had 15 points. Jakar Sampson had 18 as well. Timothy Lualu Cabarrot had 11 and 10 shots. Jesus. Archie Decono had 11 and Riley Atkins had 11 as well. Chicago, nice one. They are now 22 and 57 while the Wizards are 32 and 47. We'll talk about them in the Tankathon odds and everything. Philly, they went into Atlanta and threw out a wildly disappointing game, losing 130 to 122. Trae Young whomped Jimmy Butler in the head. Got a flagrant one. That was pretty cool. But we did have two Aussies get a double-double in the same game, which is the first time it's happened since, I believe, Kyrie Irving and Big Simo had double-doubles in the same game at the start of 2018. They missed a million free throws, did the Sixers. I think it was 16 last count. Jesus, that is absolutely brutal, isn't it? I mean, what are you doing, mate? How do you miss 16 free throws? 16 free throws? No. 16. Jesus, yeah, 16. They shot 22 of 38. Anyway, Big Simo, Ben Simmons had a 15-15-8 game. JJ Redick had 30 points and hit 6 threes. Jimmy Butts had a rough one, 16 points. Went 5 of 10 from the free throw line, though. Toby, never nude, Tobias Harris had 21. And Jonah Bolden chucked in 13 and 10. You little ripper, son of Bruce. But the Hawks won, man. Trae Young, 33 points, 7 rebounds, 12 assists. He was unreal. John Collins, that's a tall cocktail, at 25 and 8. DeAndre Bembry had 17. Kevin Huerta had 15. And Taurean, the Red Bull Prince, had 13 as well. And big Isaac Humphries, he's played both of his NBA games against Australians, which is pretty wild. He got out there again for 5 minutes. Didn't really bother the score as much, but, you know, it's at least it's pretty nice, mate. It's pretty nice. Good on you, Isaac. So there you go. Sixers dropped that game. I mean, they got really nothing to play for. They're locked into the 3 seed. What are you going to do? They're 49 and 29. Atlanta, 29 and 50. Sure. Good on you. Toronto, they beat Brooklyn in Brooklyn, 115-105. The Raps run over them. D'Angelo Russell went bonkers right at the end. Hit 3 straight threes to get it back to 5 points. He had 18 points in the fourth, but bottled it right at the end when Freddie Van Vliet of the Fightin' Van Vliets stole the ball from him with 34 seconds left, down 7, and that was all she wrote. So D'Angelo ends up with 27 points on 11 of 25 shooting. Hits 5 threes. Has 7 rebounds, 6 assists, but it's a classic D'Angelo game, right? First he giveth, then he taketh away. He's like a fucking Quetzal song. Damari Carroll and Jarrett Go The Fro Allen had 12 each. Spencer Dinwiddie had 14 points and 6 of 16 shooting. Just hasn't been the same since he came back from his ankle injury, though, Spencer. And Sweet Baby Carrots had an absolute shocker. We'll talk about that later. Pascal Siakam for the Raptors, though, he had 28 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. It was basically a battle for the most improved players between he and D'Angelo, and Siakam came out on top. Kawhi, he had 26 points on 11 of 25 shooting. Got a bit shovey there with Rodion's Kuroks. That was pretty fun. 9 rebounds, 3 assists. Serge Ibaka had 23 and 12. Big Buddha Car Larry had 10 points on 3 of 11 shooting, 4 assists, and had to explain to reporters afterwards, I don't give a fuck about the regular season. I'm out here trying to win a championship. Everyone's like, all right, best of luck to you there, Kyle. And Jeremy Lin, in his return to Brooklyn, where he promised so much and delivered so little, had 2 points. Seems about right. Classic Lin sanity. Brooklyn now dropped to 39 and 40. It's a bit of a rough one then for there as well. They're still 7th. We'll talk about that in the playoff update, though. Toronto, 56 and 23. Boston beat Miami. This was a wildish kind of game, man. He came back. They led in the third, but just couldn't hold on. Boston kind of just gave him the old clamps, and away they went. For the Heat, D-Wade, his last game versus the Celtics, maybe. 17 points, 5 of 13 shooting, 2 of 5 from 3, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. He was good. Dion Waiters Island, not as good. 21 points on 8 of 22 shooting. Kobe, 5 of 13 from 3, sure. Wingen Hassan Whiteside had 18 points, 15 rebounds off the bench. maybe realizing that Boston might be one of the ones that give him some money eventually down the road. 12 and 12 and 4 assists for BAM Adebayo, and Goran the Flog Dragic had 11 points on 3 of 15 shooting from the floor. For the Celtics, Kyrie Irving at 23, but it was Gordo Hayward had 25 points on 10 shots. He had 5 rebounds and 8 assists with 0 turnovers. That was an unreal game. One of the best games you've seen Gordon Hayward play this year. 21-8 and 4 for Average Al. Jason Tatum had 16 points on 17 shots. Double-double for Bangers, 10 and 10 with 2 blocks. And Marcus Smart had 8 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 steals. He was everywhere. There you go. Miami are now dropping out of the playoffs. 38 and 40 they are for the season. They're in 9th. Boston, 47-32, still stuck in 4th with Indy right at their heels. Charlotte beat New Orleans 115-109 in New Orleans, and the 8 people watching it probably gave half a shit. Julius Randle had 34 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. Ian Clark and Stanley Spud Johnson had 17 each. And that Pels team is just a fucking island of misfit NBA toys at this point. The Hornets' Kemba had 32 points, 21 of them in the 4th quarter to get the win, which is wild, and keep their very, 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 very faint playoff hopes alive. They're still 2.5 games back of the Magic, and yeah, there's only, what, 4 games to play?
Yeah, don't like the chances, mate, do you?
But anyway, 21 for Frank the Tank. Frank the Tank. Frank the Tank. 12 on 13 shots for Jeremy Sleepy-Eyed Lamb. Devontae Graham had 13 points and 5 assists, and Malik Monk and Bridges both had 8. Hornets, though, just, you know, keeping their noses out there. Nice one. Pelicans, they're 32 and 47. Charlotte, 36 and 42. Minnesota, they beat Dallas 110-108 in Dallas. This was actually great tanking by Dallas. They had a shot to win it all at the end. Luka broke the ankles of Josh Okogie, and then, once he was open and got the defender to basically come to him, kicked it out to Jalen Brunson for the win, and he missed. Mwah! Finger kiss tanking. That was absolutely unreal. Great tank job, Dallas. Remember, they've got to tank all the, well, they've either got to pray that they jump up in the lottery or basically end up with the 5th pick. They've now currently got the 6th worst record in the NBA. Need to get to the 5th. So this is beautiful tanking. And it was wildly entertaining as well. So, because they came back, they're like, oh shit, we might win this. And they got up, and then Minnesota got back. Like, Carl Anthony Towns hit a great shot from the corner to tie it all back up, and then Minnesota sort of just eked it out. Fun, though. This is why tanking can be fun. Great game. Minnesota-Dallas, that was awesome. Luka Doncic had a massive game. We'll talk about him later, but 12 rebounds, 6 assists, 27 points. Dwight Powell had 25 and 8. Trey Burke had 12 and 4. Sal Majeri, he had 11 points and kind of got him back in it, which was weird and funny. MVP. For the Wolves, big Karl Anthony Towns at 28 points, 13 rebounds, 12 of 15 from the field with 3 blocks. Jesus. Maple Jordan, Andrew Wiggo Wiggins, he had 19 points and 7 assists and was still somehow a minus 9. Classic Wiggo. Dario the Homie Saric had 14, 5 and 3. Tyus Jones had 15 points and 6 assists. And Josh Okogie, as mentioned, he got straight killed by Luka Doncic, didn't he?
So he got straight killed.
He did. He got straight killed. Dallas are now 31 and 47, and Minnesota 35 and 43. San Antonio lost to Denver today, 113-85, and Pop got tossed 63 seconds into this game. That's back-to-back tosses for Pop. It's wild. The Spurs hit a total of 5 threes in this game, got absolutely smoked by Denver. LaMarcus Aldridge had 16 and 6. DeRozan had 11 and 3. Jesus, 4 of 7 shooting. Lonnie Walker, 4th, though. Yeah, he was pretty good. 16 points. Sure. That's pretty brutal, though. There was 1 made 3 from the starters of the Spurs. Bryn Forbes. Jesus. For the Nugs, Nikola Jokic. Hello. 20 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, 9 of 10 from the field. They shot 54% as a team. Jam and Jamal Murray was good. 14 points and 11 assists. 19 each for Monty Morris and Malik Beasley and Will the Thrill Barton and the Dartsman, Gary Harris, both had 11. San Antonio dropped to 45 and 34. They're in 8th at the moment because the Thunder did not play today. And Denver at 52 and 26. Nice bounce back after being embarrassed by the Warriors yesterday. Really manhandling the Spurs. The Suns got absolutely handled as well by the Utah Jazz. I believe it's a soft J. 118-97 in Phoenix. Jazz smoked him in the end, 34-21 in the last quarter. It was kind of up and down, and like Phoenix were kind of sniffing here and there because they started off really well. They were leading when Booker went down on his ankle and twisted it horribly. Nice to know that the results of that x-ray were negative, so hopefully nothing too rough for little Devo Booker there, because look, we love him. Love a bit of Devo Booker getting out there, putting up meaningless numbers at the end of a season. It's fun. He had 8 points in 8 minutes up to that point and then went over in his ankle. Looked very brutal. It's one of those just real bad ones where you're like, Jesus, that went a long way. So you hope that he's okay. Eli Kobu, he had 15, 16, 9, and 4 for Rashawn Holmes, who also had an ankle injury. Josh Pacey Jackson was pretty brutal, man. 12 points and 5 of 14 shooting. It's like, all right, Josh Pacey, mate, Devin Booker's out. It's your time to shine. And he went, oh, okay. 12 points on 14 shots. Joseph. Speaking of inefficiency, Jimmy Fredette, 10 points and 11 shots. Beautiful. On your Suns. For the Jazz, they had no Ricky Tiki-Tata or Derek Favors. They smashed it still. As mentioned, Jingles. He had an equal career high 27 points. Can't remember if I said that at the top. It's fucking wild. He was wetter than the River Torrens today. 6 of 8 from 3, 10 of 13 overall. Also chucked in 5 rebounds and 8 assists. Absolutely wild times in Jingles HQ. Great job, Jingles. Joe Ingles, you absolute star. 27 points. Brutal. Donovan fucking Mitchell had 29 on 9 of 19 shooting. 4 of 7 from 3 for him. Rudy Gobert's Estafel Tower had 17 points, 13 rebounds, and 5 blocks. Jesus. And even Grayson Allen got in on the... laughter here. 14 points for him, going 6 of 9. Nice. From the field. So Phoenix there, 18 and 61. Utah, 48 and 30. Memphis got manhandled by Portland in Portland, 116-89. Jesus, this is so many games. We've got 2 more to go. Grizz, I mean, Chandler Parsons was their best player. Like, what the fuck more do you want me to say? Like, really? 16 points from Chandler Parsons. 13 and 10 for Ivan Rabb. Do we really care? All the Raptors refugees, like Justin Holiday, Darrell Wright, Bruno Caboclo, they all had 11 points. Sure. Whatever. The Blazers, though. The villain, Evan Turner. 13, 12, and 11. A back-to-back triple-double. That is awesome. Evan Turner, you star. Dame had 20 and 10. Enos the Penis Cantor at 21 and 15. And Zachy Cakes. Zach Collins. Career-high 18 points. He's pretty good. 2 of 2 from 3. 6 rebounds. Portland win 50 games. They're 50 and 28. Memphis, 31 and 47. And finally, the Houston Rockets went into LA and absolutely shit-pumped the Clippers, 135-103, just like they're an aspiring model slash actress, and you know, they were a powerful Hollywood producer or something. Jesus, absolute smashing. 135-103, first time the Rockets have beaten the Clips all year. Clippers, I mean, Gallinari had 16, Shireta, Gilgeous Alexander had 20 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Sweet Lou Will had 14, Montrez had 13, and yeah, they just couldn't get it all together. The Rockets, they shot 18 of 38 from 3 a day after shooting 26, a record. And fast Jimmy Harden, he had 31 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. Chris Paul had 29 points, 7 assists, 5 of 8 from 3 and 10 of 19 from the field just after I called him out for shooting like shit for the last month. Classic. I'm not going to say that I spurred Chris Paul onwards to greatness, but I did. Clint Capella had 24 and 15. Eric Gordon had 15. Sure. Daniel House, we had 13, so pretty bloody good. The Clippers, they dropped to 47 and 31 now. They're 13 and 18 when Pat Beverly doesn't play. It's pretty weird, isn't it? And Houston, they're 51 and 28. All right, so playoff update in the East. A little bit of changing. Jesus, Milwaukee, the one seed would take on Orlando. That's right, today. As Orlando jump up in 8. Toronto, Brooklyn would be 2-7. Philly, Detroit would be 3-6. And 4-5 would still be Boston at Boston versus Indy. Miami are now half a game back of Orlando and Brooklyn with that loss today, 38 and 39. It's a real dicey sort of spot for Brooklyn because they're tied with Orlando in the loss column. They have the tiebreaker of Orlando, but the Heat are a half game back. So with their one win game back, so they're tied in the loss column. So if it's like Orlando, Miami, Brooklyn all tied, Orlando win the tiebreaker with the division. Miami win it over Brooklyn as the head-to-head is 2-1 at the moment with 1 still to play. So Miami over Brooklyn on the last day of the season will be probably the best game of the year. Sure. In the West, we've got Golden State versus Spurs 1-8 at the moment, as OKC didn't play today. Denver OKC would be 2-7. Houston Clips would be 3-6, which after today wouldn't be that much fun. Oh, jeez. But, I mean, the Clippers did beat them the other times. And 4-5 would be Portland, Utah. Pretty fun. Some pretty nice ones. So we've still got a bit of moving around and jostling to remaining for the rest of the week, which should be pretty good. So the Tankathon. Let's have a look at this. Some pretty fun stuff. New York, Phoenix, and Cleveland have the worst three records at the moment. Then they are followed by Chicago very firmly in fourth. But then it gets a little bit more interesting as Atlanta at 29-50 and Memphis and Dallas are both tied at 31-47 for the sixth worst record. Now, Dallas, obviously, if they end up with six or lower, six through, 14, they have to give that to Atlanta as part of the Luka Doncic Trae Young trade. So obviously Dallas need Memphis to at least win one or two more games, Dallas just to lose out, and Atlanta to win two more of their remaining three games. Just can't see it happening for Dallas. So Dallas might be praying that, they jump up into the top five, well, top four, I guess, in the lottery now, don't they? The weird thing is New Orleans have been so bad and so are Washington that they're currently in 8th and 9th, which is wild because they're 32-47. The Lakers and Minnesota are tied for 10 and 11 as well at 35-43. Then you got Charlotte, Miami, and Sacramento. They'd be giving that pick to Boston. So pretty fun stuff. It should be pretty good when it comes to the lottery, which I believe is May 14. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on the old Tankathon for the rest of the week. I love Tankathon. So let's get into the good stuff, though. The NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That's a knife. Walt Lemon Jr.? What? That's amazing. That's right. Walt Lemon Jr.
Crikey.
That's right. Crikey. 24 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals. He goes 11 of 16 from the field. But that's not the approved performance of the night yet. The thing is, he hit a couple of clutch-ass free throws to win this goddamn game against the Wizards today. There's like a second left. He's fouled. They're down one. He hits the first. He steps up to the line, and Walt Lemon Jr. doesn't fuck around, and he hits the second one. Absolutely wild scenes there in Chicago on your Walt Lemon Jr. That was amazing. This guy's a fucking G-leaguer. Suddenly he's out there in the most clutch of situations, puts his team ahead, wins the game. You fucking legend. 24 points too. 8 assists. What a legend. But also 13, 12, and 11. 6 of 7 from the field. That's right. The villain, Evan Turner, with back-to-back triple doubles. He's missed one shot in his last two games, and it's only the second time ever in Blazers history that anyone's come up to back-to-back triple doubles. The first time happened in 1989 with Clyde Drexler. Evan Turner, 13, 12, and 11. This was wicked because everyone's kind of like, oh, he's kind of close. And then he got 8 assists, and it's like, oh, shit, he's actually very close now. And Anthony Simons hit a 3 to get it to 10 assists, and bang, it was on. On you, Evan Turner. That was wild. It was awesome. Great stuff all around. Good job. That was some very approved performance of the night. There's no real superstars for that one. Walt Lemon Jr. and Evan Turner. Great shit. What about Old Mate No Mates, though?
Old mate, no mate.
Who's got no mates today? Everybody loves Pop.
Unless you're the referees.
That's right. Pop setting a brand new NBA record for quickest ejection is legitimately impressive, isn't it? Like, holy shit. He just goes out there, he's like pissy, he's angry, he's yelling at everybody. He's like, all right, fuck yous. And they're like, all right, on your bike, Pop. And he's like, oh, I didn't want to fucking work today anyway. He just was like arguing. And he just, like, they came back from the first time out and he was gone. It was awesome. He was like, what fucking, oh, okay. So we got Messina again. This is great. It was fun as hell. That was really, really fun. So great stuff, Greg Popovich, but definitely Old Mate No Mates with Pop because, yeah, I believe that's back-to-back, tosses out. So Jesus, absolutely wild stuff, man. Wild stuff. It's very funny. Anyway, moving on to... Oh, wait. We've got extra old mate, no mates. Kenny Maurer and Chris Paul kind of went at it too in that Rockets-Clippers game. Chris Paul was imitating and mocking Kenny Maurer behind James Harden's back, and Kenny Maurer took umbrage at it, and then Chris Paul's like, hey, fuck you, dickhead, which was pretty good. Pretty funny. But anyway. All right. So, moving on. Let's get to Spud of the Night.
Spud of the night.
How about Alfred Payton? He went 1 of 8 from the field for 2 points. 0 of 5 from three. When you can't shoot and your name's Alfred Payton, what the fuck are you doing taking 5 threes? But also my sweet baby carrots. That's right, Caris LeVert, 1 of 9 from the field, 1 of 4 from three. And he also missed both of his free throws. What the shit, Carrots? God damn. Tough game for him to go 1 of 9 in as well, going up against the Raptors. So a tough one. But also Rudy Gay went 3 of 13. But that was bettered by Johnny Isaac. Jesus. That's right. Johnny Isaac, I love him. 6 points, 9 rebounds, but 3 of 16 shooting. 0 of 6 from three for him. Jesus, that was some non-magic from Johnny Isaac. All right, Panting of the Night. This goes to Miles Turner and Josh Okogie. Reggie Jackson got Miles Turner turned inside the fuck out and gave her the old step back and hit the shot. That was awesome. Okogie at least got by Luka on the last possession, but then Luka passed up the shot as the second defender came over. He passed it to Luka, passed it to Brunson. Brunson bricked the three for the game winner. So, but there you go. Miles Turner got absolutely fucking like sailboated, and Okogie just like crumpled to the ground. So, a couple of pretty big pantings. All right, what about better than Lonzo Ball for today, though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. As long as everybody is coming for, like, you know, our big baller brand co-founder who's, you know, going to get sued and end up probably back in jail because he's been there before, which is hilarious. Also, I don't know. Does that mean it's balling season?
It's balling season.
Yeah. Anyway, so better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball today. Trae Young was absolutely wildly good. 33 and 12 for him. Other notables: Thomas Kobe Bryant, as mentioned, 20 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 blocks for the Wizards. Kevo Knox chucked in 21 for the Knicks, and Luka broke Josh Okogie in half. Also had 27 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, and a block. So that was pretty bloody good. But Trae Young, 33 and 12, crushing it. Good rookie of the year run at the moment, but it's still Lucas. Come on. And if you reckon otherwise, go fuck yourself. All right, yeah, Nas, right after this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. We are back. It's time for Yeah Nah. But before we get to that, how good is House Hats? This song is awesome. It's I've Been Broken. It's off the debut album for House Hats, Running Out of Time. Go listen to it right now. Spotify, Apple Music. However you listen to stuff, it's awesome. Love me some House Hats. This song kicks ass. The album is amazing. All right. It's Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, if you were a free agent, would you rather sign with the Clippers or Brooklyn rather than the Lakers or Knicks? Oh, yeah, nah. Still. Howard Beck said today, according to a veteran general manager, Brooklyn and the Clippers have a decided advantage over the two marquee names because they've done far more in the last few years to position themselves to be sustainable than either New York or the Lakers. I mean, sure. But at the same time, you're still kind of playing the second best gig in town, you know? Like, I love the Nets. I love the Clippers. I had fucking season tickets to the Nets. But at the same time, being a famous Nick in New York is still wildly bigger and more significant than being the biggest Net, you know? And the same thing goes for the Clippers. I mean, Blake Griffin was pretty famous. Chris Paul was pretty famous. But Jesus, if you're a good Laker and a famous Laker, it's all over. So... for basketball, like, side of things, sure, there's a decided advantage in Brooklyn and Clipperland, over the shit show that's the Knicks and the Lakers. But if you want to be famous and awesomely well-known, yeah, Lakers-Knicks, you're right there. All right, number two, is Giannis Antetokounmpo better than Shaq when he was age 24? I mean, yeah, nah, like, nah, yeah. I mean, Shaq said he probably was. I mean, Shaq was more destructive, but Giannis is probably a better all-around player. Either way, the stats are wildly, wildly close. Giannis, 27.4 points. Shaq, 26.2. They had the same amount of rebounds per game, 12.5. That's wild. Giannis is 5.9 assists a game versus Shaq's 3.1. Shaq's got him beat 2.9 blocks versus 1.5. Giannis is shooting better from the field, 57.7 versus 55.7. And he's obviously got him beat from the free throw line, 73% versus 48.4. Shaq did only play like 54 games or something that year, though. He's just a little bit injured. But man, Giannis versus Shaq, never ever thought that would be a sort of like argument you could have. Finally, is Don McLean, Clippers color guy, an absolute fuckwit? Yeah, fuck oath he is. I'm not sure if you saw the clip today. This style is what Harden does, is manipulating the game somehow, like cheating it. I don't really have a thought beyond that, other than I'm watching something that isn't basketball. It's not like walking it up and isolating all the time. I mean, who else could do this? I don't have a thought beyond that. Yeah, no shit, Don McLean, you fucking idiot. And the best part was he said it's not fun to watch. Harden then split a double team, dished it off to Daniel House, who lobbed it to Capella for a dunk. Like, Don McLean, you fucking muppet. This comes after earlier this year, he laughed at Robert Track the Trailer and said he was probably playing down in the Detroit YMCA when the poor boy died 8 years ago. Don McLean, you sir, that's right, are an absolute fuckstick. Jeez, he's the worst. Clippers, the fact that they fired like Bruce Bowen, who I think's a dickhead as well, and have like had this rotating cast next to Ralph. Yeah, it's like, really, we got Don McLean? He's a fucking moron. This sucks. Anyway, got me heated. Like, and I'm not even like the biggest fucking Harden fan or anything, but the style that Harden does is manipulating the game somehow, like cheating it. Get the fuck out of here, you idiot. You fucking played in the 90s. Oh, it's just not basketball, walking it up and isolating all the time. Basketball's all about movement and like player movement. It's like, you played in the 90s, the most ISO heavy fucking time ever, you idiot. Anyway, time for the unpopular opinion of the day.
Look at me.
I don't care if you think Rusty was stat padding yesterday. Yes, his team were up 16 and he wanted to stay in the game, but come the fuck on. He wanted a 20-20-20 game as a tribute to a mate who was brutally shot and murdered, you pricks. So why the fuck not let him have it and just, oh, pretty stat padding. Fuck off. It was a tribute to the Rolling 60s from Crenshaw, which is where Russ is from, where Nipsey Hussle was from. Fuck you if you don't like that. Like, Russ, that's awesome. And if you're like, oh, but it's still stat padding. There was a great stat where it's been 52,768 NBA games since Wilt did his 2020 in 1968. So if it's stat padding and it could happen all the fucking time, then it could have happened at any time, right? Nope. Because 2020 is really fucking hard and awesome. Rusty's a legend. That was sick. Fight me or blow it out your ass. right there. Oh, geez. Getting heated. Also, all right, now it's Thursday at Outback Takehouse. And you know what that means. We've got West Sydney Razorback legend Derek Rucker in here at Outback Takehouse cooking up some West Sydney Razorback ribs. Only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is Greg Popovich keeps getting kicked out of games just so he can get a bit of fucking rest in time for the playoffs, but also so he can give his assistants a bit of a run in charge here and there, because he's going to retire after next year and he's like, all right, you guys need to be in charge. I'm going to let you go and see how you go. Only at Outback. I love Pop getting tossed and then like walking through Mike Malone's press conference as well after, going, hey, did you see, oh, there's a record broken. Did you see that? Oh, yeah. So what do you reckon? Who do you reckon that was about? Do you reckon he swore? Pop is an absolute fucking legend and it was funny as hell. And I also think it's funny that he's kind of like, you know what? My assistants are awesome. They're going to be fine. I mean, the Spurs got shit pumped, but still, it was pretty cool. All right, we'll be back in a second with Australian Player Watch right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we're back. Australian Player Watch. Let's do it. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, and the loss to Atlanta. 15 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 steals, and a block. He was awesome, but he did shoot only 6 of 16 from the field. It was a rough one. But he and Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, did have double-doubles, which was awesome. 13 points and 10 rebounds for Jonah to go with 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He was awesome. He shot 5 of 9 from the field. The only 4 shots he missed were all the 3s that he took. But still, how's that? Aussie connection. Combining for 28 points and 25 rebounds. That's legendary. That's almost as much as Jingling Joe Ingles had against Phoenix tonight. That's right. He had a career high equaling 27 points. He goes 10 of 13 from the field, 6 of 8 from 3, 5 rebounds and 8 assists for the Jingler as well. That was absolutely un-bloody real. Good on him. No Cavs game today, so no King Deli or Deng Adele. Patty Thrills, Patty Mills in the loss versus Denver. He went 2 of 6 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3 for 5 points, 1 rebound. He was a minus 13 overall. Not great. Kung Fu Thon, 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 Thon Song. Big Schlong Thon in the loss of the Pacers. He started again in place of Blake Griffin. Played 33 minutes. Unfortunately, didn't have a great game. 0 of 4 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3, 2 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and a block. But people who did have a good game, Aaron Bangers-Baines in the win over Miami, 10 points. 10 rebounds is perfect from the field. 3 of 3 from the field. Bangers.
You absolute bloody star.
Look at him go. That was awesome. So perfect game, basically. 3 of 3 from the field. 4 of 4 from the free throw line. 2 blocks. 1 steal. A double-double. 10 points, 10 rebounds. Bangers. The man from Ariba out there crushing it. Ryan Roddy Brockhoff got a did-not-play coach's decision, as did Mitchie Creek on the other side of that game. Dallas versus Minnesota, both DMPCDs, anti-Australian bias writ large. Not showing any anti-Australian bias are the Atlanta Hawks. Isaac Humphries played his second straight game and his second straight game against Aussies. Win over Philly today, 5 minutes. He went 0 of 2 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3. Didn't really bother the score as much with one foul. But there you go. Kiwi corner for this week, Stephen Adams. We're going to check in our anti-Padean pal. How do you reckon he went? Oh, let's check it out. Oh, that's right. And the loss to Denver. Stephen Adams, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. The loss to Dallas, he had 20 points, 15 rebounds. That was awesome. 2 assists and 2 blocks. And then in the win over the Lakers, he had 13 points, 8 rebounds, 5 blocks, and 3 assists. He also picked up Alex Caruso and went deaf in one ear, which is pretty wild. So for the season, he's at 14.1 points, 9.5 rebounds, 1.6 assists, 1 block, 1.5 steals, and shooting 59.8% from the field. That is absolutely bloody wild, isn't it? All right. Now, it's Thursday. Let's chuck in a great moment in NBA Australia stat history.
Great moments in NBA Australia stat history.
Ah, yes, it's a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. As mentioned, we just had Aaron Bangers-Baines dropping a double-double. And guess what? A great moment in NBA Australia stat history is when, 4 years ago, Bangers had his Spurs career high and had back-to-back 18-point games. That's right. Long before the sight of his copious rig gave Tommy Heinsohn the night terrors up in Boston on this day 4 years ago, the man from Ariba, Aaron Bangers-Baines himself, was tugging on the black and silver against the Nuggets. And had his highest scoring and best ever game for the San Antonio Spurs. That's right. Bangers, a cement truck disguised as an NBA player, obviously learned a thing or two from the big fundamental Timmy Duncan while Bangers was leading the Spurs to the 2014 title because he put up 18 points in only 18 bloody minutes. It's better than the 12 buck trade along special down at the Westin. Jesus. The man from Ariba went 6 of 8 from the field and 6 of 6 on his free throws. Each swish just about as perfect as Tony Collette's axe in the Muriel's wedding, showing a more deft touch than bloody Ken Doan. But not to be stopped there, Bangers the Beast also bodied the Manimal Kenny Faried and the Bosnian Bear Yusuf Nurkic for 4 rebounds, added a steal so crafty that it's being digitally inserted into the Italian job, and threw down 2 blocks so vicious and with so little regard for all human life that JJ Hexen can still be found wandering around San Antonio's iconic Riverwalk telling passers-by that he needs an adult. And look, sure, Bangers ended up with a haircut about as sketchy as the dad from Hey Dad, but 18 points in 18 minutes is 18 points in 18 minutes, no matter which way you slice it. And the best part is he bloody well did it 2 days beforehand as well, because that's right, Bangers had back-to-back 18-point games, easily the best 2 games the big fella had ever played for the Spurs. So, turns out when he's not laying more wood than a Kuna Barra Brand Carpenter, Big Bangers is a more efficient scorer than Richard Bloody Wilkins. What an absolute dead set Aussie ledge. On you, Bangers. And that is a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. And we'll be back in a second with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Twitter check-in and some game previews.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Australia. All right, we are back. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. We've just got an Isaac Humphries tweet today, retweeting his new team, the Atlanta Hawks, saying on his way back to Australia, Isaac Humphries got a phone call that he'd been signed to the Hawks. It's a great little video. We had a bit of it yesterday about how he was basically sitting at home in his apartment waiting for the cab to come pick him up and take him to the airport. Got the phone call. He was going back to Australia. No shit. Got the phone call. He's like, oh, yeah, come join the Hawks. And he's like, oh, shit, all right. So Isaac Humphries retweeted that out and added, I'll take that call any day. What an absolute legend. On ya, Isaac Humphries. That's a, you know, the inspiration board right there. All right, let's get to it. Let's get to the game previews, though, for tomorrow and the picks. Let's do it.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. How's it all going?
Yeah, pretty good. My hoodie smells a bit like baby spew, but what are you going to do? I've been sitting here fucking whiffing it all goddamn podcast. I'm like, Jesus. Little bugger. All right, so the tips and game previews. This is all brought to you by Sports Tips Australia. Head to their Facebook page and join up to score insanely bang on NBA tips day in, day out. We are going head-to-head with them at the moment. Their tips are crushing mine. They're 4-for-8 so far this week. I am 2-for-8. Jesus Christ. My Clippers -1.5 against Houston was a big L today, and the Wizards -11 was a huge L. Their Pistons win versus Indiana today was a loss, but their Hornets win over the Pelicans in New Orleans was a big win too. So they go 1-of-2. I go 0-of-2. My tips for tomorrow... Well, this is pretty easy. I've got Bucks -2.5 versus Philly. And my second one is Chetty Osman over points. I've got 13.5 points versus the Kings. I'm taking the over there. Sports Tips Australia. Their 2 big tips for today are, well, tomorrow, today, whatever, Friday. The Kings -9.5 versus the Cavs. They're taking the spread, the -9.5 for the Kings. They expect the Kings to win by more than 9.5 points over the Cavs. And they're taking the points total over in Warriors-Lakers, which was 227.5. So they want the over in total points, 227 in Warriors-Lakers. We'll see how we go. Maybe I can close out the week with 2 wins, even it up a little bit more. See how we go. All right, in the game previews, let's have a look at the odds and make a little bit of a pick and a preview for each of the games tomorrow. We've only got 3. Which is absolutely bloody lovely after the madness of today. You might notice this episode is going on very long. But we do have Milwaukee, I heard it's Algonquin for the good land, taking on the Philadelphia 76ers in Philly. And Philly are 2.5-point favorites. Wait, underdogs. Wait, holy shit, that's already moved. Oh no, that's right, 2.5. Yeah, 2.5-point underdogs at home against the Bucks. I've already got the Bucks -2.5. Easy. As long as Giannis plays, I think they smoke the Sixers. The Cavs in Sacramento, as mentioned, the Sports Tips Australia guys have taken the Kings -9.5. And I'd tend to agree with them for my, yeah, as a bit of a preview, I think the Kings will smoke the Cavs. And finally, Warriors, Lakers. Lakers, 13-point underdogs at home. I'll take the Warriors minus 13. I think they absolutely destroy this Lakers team. I mean, the Lakers are just out there rolling fucking Mo Wagner and goddamn like JaVale McGee. They will absolutely destroy the Lakers. So there you go. If you want your tips, just to repeat them, I've got Bucks minus 2.5 versus Philly and Chetty Osman over 13.5 points against the Kings. Sports Tips Australia have got the Kings minus 9.5 against the Cavs and the Warriors-Lakers over of 227.5 points. All right. So remember, make sure you like Sports Tips Australia on Facebook. And if you send them a message with the code STRAYA, they'll sort you out with a free subscription for the rest of the season in the playoffs. And you could be in there for a $150 bonus bet with Neds. Just send the code STRAYA to Sports Tips Australia on Facebook. Absolutely legendary. Support them the way they support us. And you know what? That's it. Awesome. Done for today. We're back tomorrow, Friday. It's going to be fun as hell. We're going to wrap up all those games, do a big weekend preview, and have a whole bunch of other fun stuff for you. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, Instagram. We're all over the socials during the games. You know that. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, however you listen to it on the old Android. Just make sure you mash 5 stars or I'll fucking fire. And tell them, mate, if they like NBA, they should be listening to NBA Australia. If they're not, they're dickheads. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. But go check out their new band, House Hats. I've Been Broken plays behind Yena every day, and their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. It's unreal. Go smash it, would ya? They're launching it April 12th at the Old Bar in Melbourne. I am going to be there at that show, shit-faced more than likely. They're a great band. Seriously, House Hats are awesome, so I'll see you there. April 12th, the Old Bar in Melbourne. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green Green Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. Give them a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that's it. Stick around for a very nice new The Diary of Stephen Adams. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, hoza! Oh, kia ora, Bruce. It's Stephen Adams here, eh, Bruce? Just popping by for my usual diary entry, eh? So, here goes. Oh, dear diary, it's me, Bruce, Stephen Adams, eh? Oh, but you knew that already, Bruce, because you're my diary, eh? And I write all my secrets in you, eh? Oh, just kidding, Bruce. I don't have any secrets, eh? Unless you count my honey recipe, ha ha ha. Okay, so, it's been a bit of a rough time here in OKC, Bruce. We just can't seem to win any games, Bruce. My friend Paul has a sore shoulder. My other friend, Terrence, he's forgotten how to shoot, Bruce. And my other friend, Ray, he won't stop eating all the cupcakes, Bruce. So, it's been a bit miserable, eh? But I guess we won the other night, though, eh? When a lot of Russ went fully sick, is. Like, he had that 20-20-20 game, eh? For his pill. And that was really nice, Bruce. It also meant that he didn't try to also bish our friend Terrence in the locker room after the game. Oh, also, did you see in that game I got hit in the head, Bruce? And I lost all the hearing in my right ear, eh? And the doctors were like, oh, Stephen, Bruce, you probably shouldn't go back out there, eh? You can't hear in your right ear, Bruce. And I was like, oh, nah, Bruce, it's all good, eh? I cut much worse from my brother and sisters and my cousin Rongo back home in NZ playing rugby, eh? I mean, I once played a game with no hearing and both my eyes swollen shut and a broken nose and a broken arm and a broken leg, Bruce. So I was like, fine as. I'm like, oh, it's all good. Pucker up, Bruce, and go back out there. Speaking of puckering up, also pucked up little Alex Caruso, Bruce. Ah, he's a good egg. He looks like an egg too with his bald head, hey. So, yeah, apart from that one, it's been a bit of a rough time here, for that's for sure, eh? Like, we're all getting a bit down on each other with all the losses and everything. Especially little Russ. He'd be flushing Terrence's head down the dunny every time we lost. It was a bit brutal. But there's only 1 week left to go in the season, eh? So, and that'll be time for the playoffs. And that's when the things get really serious, eh? I mean, I'm already preparing my playoff hungy, Bruce. And I've already asked everyone if they like a playoff Pavlova or if they prefer a playoff Lymington's. So, either way, whatever I make will probably work out great and make sure we win. And if we don't, Bruce, we can always blame it on Nerlens, eh? Yeah, nice one, Nerlens.
Or maybe Bully. He might cop it if we lose in the first round, I reckon, eh? Okay, so that's it for this week, bro. Just gearing up for the playoffs and getting all my cooking prep done, eh? I've even given up the Dr. Pippers in anticipation of the playoffs, eh? So, okay, Dory. That's basically it for this week. I'll write to you again next week, eh? Cheer, cheer. Love, Stephen Adams, bro.